Stretch Code. You may also know me as Sven Gulli, and you're listening to the Big Scary News. Isn't most news these days scary?
Hello, boys and girls. This is the Big Scary News with your host, Drew Badger, bringing you all the latest up-to-the-minute news and goings-on in the haunt, horror, and Halloween industry. In addition, we have an interview you won't find anywhere else. The Big Scary News is very proudly brought to you by our title sponsor, Froggy's Fog, makers of the finest fog, smoke, snow, and scents. Visit them at froggiesfog.com. And now, boys and girls, don't be scared, because it's time for the Big Scary News.
What do you say we see what's shaking in the outer limits? Now, it may get a little hairy once in a while, but don't let it flip you out.
Hi, everyone. It's Drew Badger. This is Big Scary News for episode 207. And we're going to start off with an update to the Creature Feature Weekend coming to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Creature Feature Weekend welcomes actor R.A. Mihailov to the show. R.A. Mihailov is most known for his role as Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, but is also easily recognized for his role as Red Byers in Pumpkinhead 2, Shark in Trancers 3, and Trent in Hatchet 2. R.A. Mihailov will be here all 3 days, August 27th through the 29th, where he will be doing an in-costume photo op as Leatherface. Let's all welcome R.A. Mihailov to the Creature Feature Weekend. Get more information at creaturefeatureweekend.com. We have this news from R.L. Stine's Fear Street book series. This comes to us via screencrush.com. R.L. Stine's Fear Street book series is getting a unique adaptation on Netflix. Instead of a single film, Netflix made 3 set in totally different time periods with 3 totally different casts, and they're releasing them, all of them, over a span of 3 weeks this summer. And while Stine is known as the master of kid-friendly horror, these adaptations are decidedly not for kids. Quote, "Readers should know that the book series is rated PG, but the movies are rated R," Stine revealed in a statement about the Fear Street movie news. "That means a lot more thrills and a lot more terror. I've seen Lee Janek's epic trilogy releasing on Netflix in July, and I can tell you the scares and the screams are more than I ever expected. What fun to see the horrors of Shadyside come to life," unquote. Stine's Fear Street books, which are slightly more scary and grown-up than his well-known Goosebumps novels, began in 1989. More than 50 novels have been published, along with multiple spin-offs and sequels. Here's the teaser for the Fear Street trilogy of films. In 1994, a group of teenagers discover that the terrifying events that have haunted their town for generations may all be connected, and that they may be the next targets. Based on R.L. Stine's best-selling horror series, the trilogy follows the nightmares through Shadyside's sinister history. The series began with Fear Street, 1994, on July 2nd, continues with Fear Street, 1978, on July 9th, and concludes with Fear Street, 1666, on July 16th. We have this update to Days of the Dead coming to Indianapolis. It is with great pleasure that we announce the addition of actor David Howard Thornton and writer-director Damian Leone to the guest roster for Days of the Dead Indianapolis, happening July 16th through the 18th at the Marriott Center, Indianapolis. David Howard Thornton and Damian Leone are known for their work in Terrifier, a throwback to the classic gore films of the 80s. Terrifier has been garnering heaps of praise from both critics and horror fans alike, harkening back to a time before today's overproduced fluff fright films, and bringing back what true aficionados crave: brutal kills, real scares, and an antagonist that is not soon forgotten. Get more information and tickets at daysofthedead.com. We have this news from Cinema Wasteland in Strongsville, Ohio. On June 2nd, the Ohio governor lifted restrictions, so we are formally announcing that the Cinema Wasteland Movie and Memorabilia Expo will return October 1st through the 3rd. In the meantime, we're going to have a warm-up to October's show when the Cinema Wasteland one-day collectibles show and retro movie night returns July 24th. The one-day show is not as big as the regular Cinema Wasteland Movie and Memorabilia Expo. Far from it. It's only 33 to 35 vendor tables and there are no guests. Because it's just a little collectible show during the day and a free film show for whoever wants to stick around, it's much cheaper for vendors to set up and much cheaper for everyone to attend than a regular CW show. Come and shop with our attending vendors from 10 until 5, meet up with friends, grab a few brews and a bite to eat at the hotel bar, and then head back after 7 p.m. for a classic or not-so-classic double feature film show, complete with a classic cartoon, short film, and intermission reel on 16mm film that will run from 7:30 until 11:30 or midnight. See the event posting on our main page for more at cinemawasteland.com. We have this news from the Miscreation Haunted House in Phoenix, Arizona. Develop a greater understanding of leadership, haunted attractions, acting, improv, makeup, and special effects. Learn how to become a monster in character development, how to be scary. Learn different types of scares and how to use them efficiently. Learn about business and business ethics, anti-bullying, public speaking. Learn about videography and photography, photo editing, video editing. Learn character counts, diversity, cosplay, security, safety, building, sets, props, costumes, and more. Develop a passion and commitment to social change, community, and haunted attractions. Empower people to lead, believing in their ability to make a difference in their life and the lives of others, as well as in the world around them. We are way more than just a haunted attraction. You want to join the Miscreations team? Fill out an application now. Get more info at Miscreation, that's MYScreation.com. We have this update from Monster Mania Con in Hunt Valley, Maryland. We are very excited to announce that our very good friend and horror film icon, Robert Englund, will be returning to Monster Mania Con 47, held September 24th through the 26th. Robert Englund will be appearing all 3 days of the show. Obviously, every Monster Maniac knows Robert Englund as the iconic Freddy Krueger of the Nightmare on Elm Street franchise. Robert played the role of the Elm Street slasher in all the original Nightmare on Elm Street films and sequels, ranging from his first film in 1984 to his last portrayal in 2003's Freddy vs. Jason. Don't miss your chance to meet Robert Englund at the show. Get more information at monstermania.net. We have a little sad news from the Nightmare Haunted Attraction in Louisville, Texas. We knew you were expecting updates on our planned summer show and events, but it is with a heavy heart that we send you this update instead. Due to circumstances beyond our control, we will be closing our doors. This is obviously not the news we wanted to relay to you. We had hoped to grow Nightscape into an attraction that would become a DFW destination for haunt lovers for years to come. But maybe Nightscape was always meant to be the spooky bridge that gave comfort to guests during a worldwide pandemic when other haunts could not. We'd like to think that this was Nightscape's purpose all along, and Nightscape could not do that without you. The volunteers and guests were the engine and the spirit of this haunt, and we are still so humbled that so many of you would dedicate their time, support, and talents to bring a first-time haunt to life. Thank you for taking the chance on us, and thank you for all the incredible memories and friendships that were made. To all our wonderful volunteers and guests, we love you, stay creepy, and scare on. Best wishes, Natasha and James. Keep up with any updates at their Facebook page, facebook.com/nightscapehaunt. We have this news on the home release of Sam Raimi's The Unholy. This comes to us via bloodydisgusting.com. From producer Sam Raimi and his Ghost House Pictures comes the supernatural The Unholy, which Megan Navarro called sinfully bland religious horror. After a theatrical run this past spring, The Unholy made its way to digital HD in May before arriving on all VOD platforms, DVD and Blu-ray on June 22nd. There are no special features as of this writing. Evan Spiliopoulos wrote and directed The Unholy, which has a cast including The Walking Dead's Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Katie Azleton, William Sadler, Cricket Brown, Diogo Morgado, and Carrie Elwes. The Unholy follows Alice, a young hearing-impaired girl who, after a supposed visitation from the Virgin Mary, is inexplicably able to hear, speak, and heal the sick. As word spreads and people from near and far flock to witness her miracles, a disgraced journalist hoping to revive his career visits the small New England town to investigate. When terrifying events begin to happen all around, he starts to question if these phenomena are the works of the Virgin Mary or something much more sinister. The film is based on James Herbert's novel Shrine, which was published in 1983. We have some gaming news regarding the game Back 4 Blood. This also comes via BloodyDisgusting.com. Turtle Rock Studios has released an extended gameplay trailer for the highly anticipated Back 4 Blood during Microsoft's recent E3 event, and also announced that the game will be coming to Xbox Game Pass on the first day of the game's release. And now the developers have released a brand new gameplay video showing off an in-depth look at the game's player versus player mode known as Swarm. Back 4 Blood will arrive on October 12th for Xbox Series, Xbox One, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC via Steam. And don't forget about that open beta coming in August. You can find that trailer on YouTube. We have a little music news from the band The Rhythm Coffin. We are thrilled to announce that The Rhythm Coffin and their frightfully fun Monster Rock and Roll Party will be performing live at the Creep It Real Orange County Expo on Sunday, September 12th. At the Heritage Museum of Orange County in Santa Ana, California. You won't want to miss this graveyard smash with spooky cover of the Monster Mash and more. Set times are to be determined, but stay tuned for more information at their Facebook page, facebook.com/therhythmcoffin, and get more information about Creep It Real at creepitrealoc.mystrikingly.com. We have this update from the Texas Haunters Convention coming to Mesquite, Texas. Want to see how the magic is done? Hop on board our air-conditioned charter bus Friday evening to get an exclusive guided tour of both Moxley Manor Haunted House and Dark Hour Haunted House, hosted by some of the key designers. This is a full lights-on event walking you through each haunt as well as the backstage areas. You'll be able to ask questions and learn from the pros. Attendees and exhibitors must be registered for this event to attend. Register now to attend the convention and all events at TexasHauntersConvention.com. We have this news from SeaWorld Orlando in Orlando, Florida. This comes to us via the Orlando Sentinel and is edited for content. SeaWorld Orlando will add an extra layer of fright to Halloween this year with Hallow Scream, an after-hours extra ticket event with haunted houses, scare zones, and other spooky activities. The event will be held 27 nights between September 10th and October 31st. The theme park will retain its long-running, lighthearted, spooktacular event geared towards children. During the day, it'll begin September 18th. The event name mirrors the Halloween event held at Busch Gardens in Tampa, also operated by Orlando-based SeaWorld's Parks and Entertainment. There will be a combo ticket sold that incorporates Hallow Scream in Tampa and Central Florida. SeaWorld's new event adds to Orlando's teeming Halloween presence in the theme parks. Boo Bash, an after-hours offering at Magic Kingdom, begins August 10th. Universal's Halloween Horror Nights returns September 3rd. And Legoland Florida hosts Brick or Treat beginning October 2nd. For more information, visit howloscream.com/Orlando. And finally, we have this news from Midsummer Scream, coming to Pasadena, California. The producers of Midsummer Scream are thrilled to announce a surprise event kicking off the Halloween season to take place the weekend of August 14th and 15th at the Pasadena Convention Center. Awaken the Spirits will feature over 200 spooky vendors, live entertainment, and a presentation stage where fans will learn what's in store for Halloween 2021 from the likes of LA Haunted Hayride, Delusion, Six Flags Magic Mountain, the Winchester Mystery House, and others. quote, "The entire team is excited to be able to create live events once again," says David Markland, executive director of Midsummer Scream. "Awaken the Spirits will allow us an opportunity to bring together fans and professionals from the Halloween and haunt community to celebrate and prepare for what will be a great spooky season." For more information and tickets, visit midsummerscream.org/awaken. And that wraps up the news for this episode. Stay tuned for the interview here on The Big Scary News. Do you need fog or snow for your haunted attraction or theatrical event? Are you looking for that perfect haze effect? How about scents to give your haunt that extra realism? If you answered yes to any of these, then you need to head over to froggiesfog.com and check out their line of world-famous frog juice, haze juice, artificial snow, and bubble juice. Whether you're a home haunter buying a gallon a year or a major theme park buying 25,000 gallons a year, you can be certain that your satisfaction is their highest priority. They have everything you need when it comes to the highest quality fog and haze fluids. If you're looking for that perfect low-lying stage fog, the longest-lasting water-based fog, the right haze juice for your machine, a bubble juice that outperforms the rest, or a snow juice that evaporates after floating 30 feet, Froggy's Fog has that and so much more. Froggy's Fog also has scent additives that are compatible with any water-based fog, haze, snow, and bubble fluid. For more information, visit froggiesfog.com. That's froggiesfog.com.
Hey, this is Tater. Come buy your fog from me, because if you don't, I'll be homeless.
Hello, everybody. Drew Badger here. We are live at MetrothamCon in Chattanooga, Tennessee. We're hanging out with all the cool kids. It is Saturday afternoon, and folks, conventions are back. We are so happy. You know, it's not wall-to-wall here today, but we're just happy that people are finally coming out. The cosplayers are out here, some of the stars, the celebrities. Some of the people here have belonged to some, you know, shall we say, storied franchises here. One of the great horror movie franchises is Hellraiser, and I have Paul T. Taylor, who was from Hellraiser Judgment. How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing well. I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here.
It is a Saturday afternoon. Crowds are okay, but how has Chattanooga been treating you so far?
It's been beautiful. I mean, the weather here is gorgeous. I really know a lot of these people who are here with me pretty well, actually. I've been at other conventions with them in the past. Lovely people. The hotel is gorgeous. Nice sheets.
This is a very nice convention center and hotel area. Yeah. You know, love Chattanooga myself.
Yeah, and we went to a cool restaurant last night. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a... the most interesting, bizarre restrooms I've ever seen. I loved it.
Oh, we have to talk about this.
So bizarre. It was these. They were one, you know, one at a time sort of restrooms. I went into both, but only after I said, "Hey, is the ladies as cool as the men's is?" She said, "You can stick your head in, but don't go in there." I guess they didn't want me in there. So,
deny Pinhead, right?
Yeah, how could they? It was all, and I was a little tipsy, so maybe it was. It was cooler in my head than it actually was, but it had all these boulders, like rocks. The walls were
nice.
Boulders with cement between them and all this crazy graffiti. And the graffiti, what was wonderful about it was all pretty much, I wouldn't say political, but it had a certain leaning, and it was like, yeah, this is my kind of place. It was really cool.
Very nice.
I recommend
it.
I'm going to go back there and write something like, Pinhead pissed here and draw a little picture of Pinhead.
Nice.
That's what I'm gonna do.
Have you seen the Choo Choo yet?
The Choo Choo? No,
Chattanooga
I'm not.
Choo Choo?
No.
it is an actual place here, though. There's a hotel with the actual train in front
of
it.
That's cool. So. I've sung the song, but I've never. Pardon me, boy.
There you go.
No.
Yeah. Before you get on the plane, go see if you can go check it out. It's not too far from this point. It's very nice.
Is it walking distance?
I don't think so, but
a long walk.
Well, yeah, everything's walking distance if you got time. So
that's true. That's true.
Conventions are back. It's nice to do that. How you were fairly active in the convention circuit before all this happened.
Yes,
you know,
it was,
and people just come up to you, and you know, let's be honest. Hellraiser Judgment was was an odd one. It almost didn't get released, but it did. But but you are part of a storied franchise here. And how did it get released? I mean, there was a lot of people that never thought it would actually come out.
Yeah, well, yeah. I waited 2 years from when I finished my work to when it was actually released. I think a big reason that it was released was because of the hashtag MeToo movement, because the franchise was owned by Dimension Films, which is Bob Weinstein. And, of course, when Harvey Weinstein got in his big trouble, they were releasing every single thing they had on the shelf because they needed the money. So the movie finally got released, and I'm so grateful for that because I don't know if it would have ever been released if it hadn't been for that. So so I finally got to experience... hearing people eventually come up to my table and say, I know that you were only in Judgment, and I really thought you were legit as Pinhead. That's like the coolest thing I can hear at these conventions. Wow. Because that with the job came such a rabid fan base, and I knew what I was up against. And they're going to, you know, haters going to hate, as they say. But I can't worry about it. I don't care because I just do my job, and hopefully people like it. And I've had to come to the conclusion just to move on. I don't know if I'll ever play Pinhead again. I know I got to do it once, and I hope I get to do it again. But, you know, it, as you said, a storied franchise, it's a great honor to be, as my friend texted me after I got the part, congratulations on your instant cult status. It kind of that blew my mind, but it was like, wow, it is a cult film. Thus, I am a cult. I like to call myself Pinhead 3, but some people think that I just shouldn't do that.
Maybe you should say Version 3.
Version
Pinhead
3.
Pinhead V3. There you go.
Pinhead V3. And
rolls off the tongue.
The older, the sadder, but wiser Pinhead for me. You know? I don't know.
Well, Doug Bradley we've had on the show, and of course he's the iconic Pinhead, as everybody says.
Yeah.
And he's a true gentleman and everything.
Yes.
And has he seen the film? And if so, has he contacted you? Or when you got the part, did he come and talk to you and say, congratulations, let me give you some sage words of advice or anything like that?
I don't know if he has actually seen the movie or not. I probably, let's see, when I met him, it had come out. I should have taken him a Blu-ray. Just like I should have taken Clive Barker a Blu-ray and just handed it to him. This was at Texas Frightmare a couple years ago. It was the 30th anniversary of Hellraiser. So they were all in town, and they asked me to join to be a guest as well. So I got to meet three of the original Cenobites and Doug Bradley and Clive Barker. It was so cool.
Nice.
And he was an absolute gentleman. We had a conversation about a month before that, Skyping. I think we were Skyping. And we just, like, talked things out. Because, you know, there was some drama behind the scenes, not having to do with me, but with the whole casting a Pinhead thing. It was something I wasn't involved with. But as a result of it, some of the fallout kind of got on me.
Mm.
And so we just sort of made everything cool so that when we did actually talk, we could just be, like, buddies. And he didn't actually give me performance advice because I never talked to him before I shot. But he did. This was really cool. There was a screening at Alamo Drafthouse, I think, the night before the convention started, and I was there, not as a guest, but just I wanted to watch the movie and see them and stuff. So they had a Q&A after the movie, or before the movie, because actually Doug left before the movie started, but they had their Q&A before it, the movie, and... he was taking questions, and I raised my hand because I had a question. It was about Clive Barker's writing and about the plays he'd written. And because Doug and Clive have been friends since grammar school, you know, that's when they met. So it's a long lifetime relationship. And they had a theater company. And so Clive would write the plays. Doug would be in the plays. And I said, my question was, what if you were only going to produce one Clive Barker play, which one would it be? And he told me which one it would be, and I'll have to remember it. I don't remember it right now, but I know
not
which one
Night
it was.
Lead?
No.
Well,
it was a play. It wasn't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a play. Before he answered the question, he said, does everyone know who's asking the question? And I'm like, oh, cool. And he introduced me, and he said, this is Paul T. Taylor. He's your new Pinhead in the upcoming Hellraiser Judgment. And I was like... it was so kind of him. He didn't have to do that. So I felt embraced in a way by the franchise, and he certainly didn't have to do that.
How did you wind up getting the part? Was it just a standard audition for you, or did you know somebody? Well,
I knew the casting director. It was a standard audition. At the time that I got the script, I got the audition, the movie was only being called Judgment, and it shot in Oklahoma City, and I live in Dallas, Texas, so only 3 hours away. So I've already had a good relationship with this casting director because he'd cast me in many things over the years. He knows how weird I am. He doesn't know how weird I am. Nobody knows how actually weird I am, but I'm pretty weird. I'm a weirdo. And so he knew that I would at least give the role of the auditor a really good audition. So he had me on the list to audition for the auditor for a movie called Judgment. Well, I read the auditor's first line in the sides, and it was, I think it was, "Come in, we have such sights to show you." And I was
That's a famous
this
line.
This is a freaking Hellraiser movie. Oh, my God. I'm going to be in a movie with Doug Bradley if I get this part. I was like, you know, all these things are racing through my head. Then we did that audition, and then a few days later or a week later, I got a private email from the casting director saying, "We want to put Paul on tape for the role of Pinhead. Doug Bradley's not coming back." And I was like, oh my God, there's no effing way I'm going to get this part. And that lasted for about 5 minutes. And I decided, that's no way to approach this. I'm going to make this the best audition I've ever done in my life. And I did. And I got the part. And it was like, but I took my Pinhead action figure and my puzzle box into the original audition. And it was in a bag because it was still a secret that it was a Hellraiser movie when I was auditioning for the auditor. And I pulled it out and I'm like, na 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 na, showed it to the...
I use these for inspiration.
Yes, exactly. So that's why I got the part. It was this very standard audition. And I didn't have a callback or anything. We just had to wait for Bob Weinstein's final approval. He was at Cannes Film Festival the weekend that he had to get final approval. He was having trouble with his cell phone or something. They couldn't get an answer from him. I was like on pins and needles, like, come on, please. And then one day, one Sunday morning, I'm sitting in my easy chair, and I get a text from the casting director, says, "Welcome to the movie, Pinhead." Like,
oh,
what?
Nice. Congratulations.
Yeah, so coolest thing that's ever happened to me.
Now, you live in Dallas,
yeah,
and I can't remember, is it Dallas or Houston that's known for a lot of anime voice work? Because you've done some of this.
It is Dallas. There's a company called Funimation, there's a couple companies, actually, but that's the main one that I worked for.
And you've done some really, really good anime jobs.
Thank you. There's one called Okatron, too, for those who want to know. But, yeah, thanks.
I see Baki over here and there, and I'm a big fan. I watch that on Netflix. Yeah. I'm waiting for season three now, or season 4?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I voiced Eminai, who I believe died in the first season. He was quite a fighter. And all of the effort sounds and the dying and the killing and the... Wow, it's hard.
It's harder than standard acting.
It is, because you're in a booth, you like a microphone, and you're just over and over again. Yeah, could you make that more guttural? Yeah, could you have blood coming out of your vocal cords, please? Because we'd really appreciate that. The one that was easy, though... Well, I did Percy Nicholson in... I don't remember the name of that one. Oh, the middle one, I don't remember, but...
it's in Japanese, I can't
remember. Yeah, Samurai Warriors, though, was the most recent, and I played a leper, and I had a mask over the character has a mask over his face.
Ironic.
So I didn't have to match any lip flaps.
Nice.
So that was easy, and he's very soft-spoken, and I'm like, this is my kind of voiceover
Those
work.
Are the best kind.
Just talking, you know.
So for people wanting more information, I know you can get the Blu-ray and the DVD of Hellraiser Judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have other projects coming up that we can talk about for a moment?
Yeah, actually I have two that are being released pretty soon. There's one that the plans have not been solidified. It's a gothic drama. I guess you'd call it a southern gothic drama. I'm very proud of it. It's called Whitetail. It's the most serious, legit, dramatic work I've ever done in my life. I play a lead role, and it would have already made the festival circuits, you know, but, you know, COVID, you know,
yeah.
That happened.
That's the standard answer.
And threw everything away. So, but they're going to do a limited theatrical release, and then it will be available Blu-ray and DVD and streaming.
Nice.
I don't know the schedule yet, but you can always follow on Instagram #WhitetailFilm, Or you can actually just get me on Instagram at The Real Paul T. Taylor. And then there's another one that's being released that's a horror comedy called Roadhead, which, as a title, the word Roadhead means, yes, it means all of the things that might go through your head in hearing that title. It's pretty funny and freaky and weird and,
something that we would expect from Paul T. Taylor.
Exactly. I have not a large role, but it's a very, very nice cameo. Quirky, just silly. So that's going to be coming out June 4, I believe.
Nice.
You can also, you can always look up an actor on IMDb. That's easy. And you can see everything that they have coming up. I also do just want to shout out that I have a website called paulttaylor.com. Not a lot going on there, but enough, I have photos for sale, but more than importantly, it's just informational.
Sure. Do you have any cons coming up in the next, say, 3 to 6 months?
I do, but I can't remember what they are. I wish my agent was standing right here beside me.
Would they be on paulttaylor.com?
Not yet, but they would definitely be on Instagram.
There you go. At The Real Paul T. Taylor.
Yes. And I have a Twitter account, but I so rarely even post that it's not even worth... Well, yeah, you should follow me. Paul T. Taylor at Popo Herman. That's Popo Herman, like Popo Herman. It's a long story. It's a long story.
Which we probably won't get into at this point.
I'm not going to go into it. It's very strange. It is related to Pee Wee Herman, but it's not Pee Wee Herman. Anyway, and then I have a Facebook fan page, and I'm Paul T. Taylor.
Nice.
You can also find me at Paul Taylor, but that's more of a personal page, but that's where most people go. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. All of the social media stuff, I post about the movies and the cons and
Excellent.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, Paul T. Taylor, it's been a pleasure to have you here on The Big Scary Show. I wish you nothing but success with the upcoming films that you have on. And again, you can probably, or should probably, pick up a copy of Hellraiser Judgment, now streaming, or you can get it on DVD and Blu-ray. I assume it's in Ultra HD, Ultra 4K HD at some point, if it hasn't come out yet.
It's not now, but it probably will.
Probably will be.
Yeah, I'm sure there will be a re-release, but it's right now it's Blu-ray and digital, or the DVD, with deleted and extended scenes and a gag reel.
Oh, the gag reel's got to be gold here.
It's pretty funny.
Very nice. Paul T. Taylor, a pleasure to have you here on The Big Scary Show. I wish you nothing but success. My name is Drew Badger. I'm here at Metrotham Con in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we are out.
We'd like to thank the Ghastly Ones for laying down the tunes for this show. Also, we'd like to thank once again Froggy's Fog for being our title sponsor, froggiesfog.com. Make sure to check out The Big Scary Show next week for even more news, music, rants, phobias, interviews, the Round Table of Terror, and so much more at our redesigned website, bigscaryshow.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Facebook and stay on top of everything happening in the world of haunts, horror, and Halloween. Once again, this is Drew Badger saying good night.